Okay. Well, once again, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus. This time they ask him a question that they really know the answer to, and they know he knows the answer as well, because it was clearly in the scriptures. And they basically ask him, is it okay for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? What a loaded question. The answer was obvious to them, as it was obvious to every Israelite. Divorce for any and every reason, no way, no way. That would be a very good reason for the Lord to grant a divorce. But in his reply, Jesus highlights something that's so topical that I thought I would pick up on it as I read this in my Bible recently. At the beginning, as we've heard, the Lord God created Adam and Eve, perfect man, perfect woman. The only perfect man, apart from Jesus, Adam was the only perfect man who's ever walked the planet. And in verse 12, Jesus speaks to our confusing situation we're in today regarding gender and so on. That's what I really want to address. We don't have any more perfect men and perfect women on our planet. And Jesus addresses, now, he talks about marriage because they raised the topic of divorce, and Jesus leads them to think about this. It's for those who, for the guy who doesn't want, he doesn't fancy women and doesn't want to marry them, or the woman who doesn't fancy blokes and want to get married. And he addresses them, and he says, he uses the eunuchs who were there as an illustration. Some, he says, are eunuchs either because they were born that way, or, extremely relevant to us in 2019, they were made that way by society, if you like, by peer pressure, bad experiences, whatever. They've been made that way. So Jesus says, some were born that way, some have been made that way. See, in the late 60s, I was a student, and I was propositioned once by a bloke in the toilet. I didn't like it at all. I was very, very angry. And then when I was converted to Christ, I took an RE lesson in a particular school, not far from here actually, where the religious chapel-going RE teacher told all the kids, the teenagers, that God hated gays. And I had to interrupt her straight away in front of her class and say, well, hang on now, you're wrong on at least two fronts here. Number one, God loves the world, all people everywhere. And number two, you are setting yourself above this group that you obviously don't like. You say God hates them. Obviously, the inference is that somehow God likes you. So you're wrong on at least two fronts. And I could say that I don't hate gays. They are sinners, same as gossips and self-centered and thieves and arrogant and lazy and liars. All of us, everybody who's ever walked the planet except one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God. The scripture is clear. Lust outside of marriage, where this bloke and girl, or bloke and bloke, or girl and girl, is not God's best at all. It's not God's best. And anything that's not God's best is called sin. God did not create Adam and Eric, or Alice and Eve. He could have, but he didn't. Why didn't he? Because it's not his best way. And if Alice and Eve were the two that were created first, then they could not possibly obey God's command to be fruitful, multiply, produce more people. In fact, if it was Adam and Eric, then once they died, that would have been it. There would have been no more humans. So it can't be God's best. In Isaiah 48, I read just this week, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. News a week or so ago, was it, broke that Scary Spice announced that Ginger Spice and her had a lesbian romp 20, whatever it is, years ago. And apparently, Jerry Horner, she is now, who was Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice, apparently did not greet this news with great enthusiasm. Well, why not? You were happy 20 years ago to be in this lesbian romp. Suddenly it's not good on your CV. Why then? Is it wrong then? Then last year we had a group of women invading a men-only swimming pool deliberately to to say, well, actually, we're presenting ourselves as men today. And they did it deliberately to highlight the confusing situation we have about gender and so on. When I was teaching in 1984, the government had this massive advertising campaign about AIDS. Don't die of ignorance. And the science teachers, I was one of them, we were warned, it was very frightening at the time, we were warned that this HIV could be in blood. I didn't know anything about biology, but this frightened the living daylights out of me, because, you know, what if somebody comes into the physics lab and they've cut themselves, they've got blood, what if that drips on somebody else? And if they got HIV, will that person be affected? In any case, what about when we use a pipette? Are there blood vessels in saliva? In which case, everything, you know. Somebody's got a bit of spit and they're using some arm meter or something. What happens when the next person comes along? It was terrifying. The government, I think the World Health Organization, managed to trace the first person who had HIV, AIDS. His name was Dugas. He was a promiscuous guy. He slept with mostly men, but he slept with lots of people, and he infected them all. Then I saw a little bit of the film Bohemian Rhapsody the other day, where Kenny Everett and Freddie Mercury are chatting in this studio, and of course, the story was they were both infected, they both died of AIDS, they were both infected by the same man. Then Anne Hesh, the film actress, 20 years ago, was in a relationship with a TV presenter, a lesbian relationship. Then a few years ago, she announced she was in love with a bloke, married him, and this is what she said, that mental illness was a reason for the lesbian years. Wow, what a strong thing to say. Or a woman I met on the hill, we call her Bev. She had a child with a guy. He was a thug and moved on. Then she met another guy, had a child with him. He was a brute, so she moved out and took her kids with her. By the time I was talking to her last, she was what Ulrika Johnson describes about herself, a 4x4. Four kids, four different fathers. But she said she'd found love. She'd found somebody who loved her, a woman. I understand that, don't you? If you've been so badly treated. So what do we say to all this? We say, as Anne has just said, Adam and Eve fell, they dragged the whole lot of us down with them. Since then, there have been no perfect men, no perfect women, and Jesus points to eunuchs. Some are made that way from birth, so they are born. Others, society of bullies, thugs, have influenced them. I remember reading a research document 25 years ago. They did a research on about 2,000, I think, gay men. And they asked them about their upbringing, and the number of them, the percentage of those gay men who had a strong, good father was virtually zero. Hardly any of them. So clearly some are, as Jesus says, some are born that way. Some, they're made that way by the people they rub shoulders with. Whatever our orientation, Bible says, none of us are what we ought to be. When people don't feel comfortable in their own skin, actually, none of us should be happy with ourselves anyway. Should we? I heard a song on the radio. It may be an old song. I haven't heard it before. Robbie Williams and the chorus. I am powerful. I am beautiful. I am free. I am wonderful. I am magical. I am me. I thought straight away, well, that's not what Jesus teaches. And no biblically sane person can look in the mirror and say, I am wonderful, I am beautiful, I am magical. Because if the world is full of magical, wonderful, beautiful people, how come we've got 137 people slaughtered in Sri Lanka this morning? And the thing is, the people who were slaughtered and the people who were doing the slaughtering are all sinners. For all have sinned. Adam and Eve dragged the whole lot of us down. I heard Stephen Fry on an old interview. I hate a God who created children with cancer, Well, who wouldn't create a God? But that's not our God, though. The Lord our God did not. He created a beautiful world, a perfect world. But Adam and Eve chose, like you and I do, to do their own thing. That's what sin is, lawlessness. I want to do it my way. And since then, we're all contaminated, we're all warped, we're all sick, and we're all guilty. We sin against others, they sin against us, and because we're so self-centered, we always imagine that somehow everybody who sins against us does it much more than we sin against them. We all think like that. We all think we're hard done by. And in our land, successive governments have tried to erase God, and now we've got thousands, literally, of people who are so baffled by what they are, so uncomfortable in their own skin, so confused at where we're headed, so empty, so numb, that they see suicide as the solution. We're seeing it more and more and more. I remember listening to a Muslim who converted to Christ, and he said something I had never thought. Now, maybe you thought of this. I am a slow learner, I think, and I just hadn't seen it. He said, he'd been brought up a Muslim, he became a Christian, converted to Christ, and he said this: have you noticed that the way the fanatical Muslim spreads Islam is to impose Sharia law? In other words, you impose from the outside, compel people to behave like this, whereas Christianity is from the inside out. It's entirely spiritual Christianity, whereas to impose Sharia law, don't do this, you don't do that. And, you know, I was reading just last week where Jesus in Matthew 23 talks to the religious leaders, and he said, you clean the outside of the dish, but inside you're full of hypocrisy, he says. First, clean the inside. I thought, yeah, there's the difference between all religions and Christianity. All other religions, do that, point this way, say your prayers, sing your songs, stand, sit, whatever. Christianity is from the inside out. It's life, it's new life. It's not about doing. It's first and foremost about being different. But it starts almost always with a recognition we are not what we ought to be. Whether it's I don't feel comfortable with my sexuality or whatever it is, my pride, my anger, my untrustworthiness, whatever it is, none of us surely are happy with what we are. Are you happy with what you are? Then you really don't know yourself. You know, we're convicted. First of all, every Christian's been convicted of sin, their own sin. You are sin. What you are like, what I'm like. Because whether we are gay or lesbian or straight or whatever we are, we're all up the creek without a paddle. Every single one of us. I was talking to my neighbor last week, and he said that in the college he lectures in, they'd had a well-being day. Because the Welsh Assembly says we all have a right to be happy. Well, the Bible says if you really know yourself, you'd never believe you have a right to be happy. If you really know yourself, you would see the only right you've got is to be burning in hell because you've disobeyed and slapped God across the face time after time after time. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can change us. He doesn't help us by teaching us. He doesn't help us by surgery or therapy. He changes us from the inside out. Has he done that for you? What a price he had to pay. Are you being changed? Do you want to be changed? It's not about trying harder. It's about turning to Jesus and admitting what you are. He knows what you are. It's about admitting your guilt, owning up. This is what I am, Lord. Change me. Forgive me, save me, ask him to come into your life and change you. Have you done that? So we're not playing games here. Eternity is life and death, heaven and hell. Every time you hear a message like this, trust in Jesus. Amen.